Well, the word's good. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Praise His name. Well, before we pray and get into this, I shared this testimony last week, but you know, we always have newer people, and it's worthy repeating it because it's wonderful, and I have already testimonies lined up to be shared, you know, and I just want to share them and, you know, give them their proper place because God's moving around here.
Amen.
Lives are being changed. Things are really happening. And so Sandy Muck, she's doing children's church today. She, of course, gave me permission to share all this. I had mentioned this last week. But for some reason, I read these testimonies. It builds my faith, you know, just to see what God's done. You know, because if God will do something for one, He'll do it for all. You know, I don't pick and choose favorites in my children. I bless Caleb. I'm going to bless Abby. Amen. I bless Abby. I'm going to bless Caleb. Well, God's the same way. He's no respecter of persons. And Bible heard, not the Bible, Sandy said. I was going to say the Bible said, but Sandy said that as I approached my 50s, I was experiencing symptoms of PMS, moodiness, fatigue, and hot flashes, and I never considered asking God to heal me. This was a natural physical progression of aging as far as I was concerned. Well, thank God we don't live in the natural. We can have above what the natural says. She said, so I struggled through these symptoms, and I tried to treat it with over-the-counter medication. Big mistake. As I began taking these pills, I started experiencing an excessive, heavy, constant flow of blood for a prolonged time, leaving me anemic and frustrated. As I looked closer at the medication, it should not be taken if you have fibroids because it could cause severe bleeding. And she said, I had fibroids. If you don't know what that is, that's benign tumors that can be on a woman's uterus. And a lot of ladies have them that never have any problems with it. She said, so I created a big problem out of what now seemed a minor inconvenience. I scheduled an appointment with the doctor and was given a prescription to control the flow of blood and was scheduled for a recheck in 2 weeks. It was at this point that you called out, I'm talking about me, for healing after service. And I shot out of my chair and was the first one up front. I knew that call was for me and I was ready to receive. As you laid hands on me, I knew I was healed instantly. Now, for those that are newer, don't know too much, I'm not the healer. She's not saying, Pastor Mike, you have healing in your hands. It was you. The Bible says that's one way we transmit healing. Jesus did it in Mark chapter 16. He said to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. She says, you laid hands on me. I knew I was healed instantly. I don't know how to explain it. I just knew with certainty. So it was no surprise that my recheck was without issue and I didn't have to go for any more appointments. God is good. Amen. And so we're going to read a little bit today about the woman with the issue of blood, but we have our own woman who had the issue of blood. And if you're here and you have an issue of blood, God is your answer. Praise God. Well, let's pray and believe Him for what we need today. Father, we're just so excited to be here in Your presence. Father, it's like an event every time we gather. Lord, we don't just play church. We don't just go through the motions. This isn't some repetitive action, some mundane thing. No. Father, we are here to hear from heaven. So, Father, I thank You that You want to meet the needs of Your children. Lord, You said so in Philippians 4:19, that You'll meet and supply all our needs. Well, sometimes those needs are financial. Sometimes those needs are physical. Sometimes those needs are answers. Sometimes those needs are revelation. Sometimes those needs can be correction. So, Father, we thank You, whatever we need here this morning, You'll provide it because You're faithful. And Lord, we're not here to hear from a man. No, we're here to hear from heaven. So Lord, as I open my mouth, I pray that You'll fill it with words from heaven, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, may I speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And I thank You that the word will be preached with boldness today and with utterance today. And Father, bullseyes will be hit. And what I mean by that is the bullseye in their heart, Father. You're going to say something through me that's going to be so specific and pertinent to their life, they're going to know without a shadow of a doubt that You're talking to them. Father, I don't know everything. I don't know what everybody's going through, but You do. And I thank You that You care. So, Father, we thank You for our help this morning as we go forward. We give You the praise. We give You the glory for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Well, if you have your Bible, you can go to, let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 8. We'll start there. This has been rolling around in my spirit all week long to share this message. I'm in the middle of a prosperity series in Allegheny. And I know that that's on the radar to dive into some things here, but just not yet. And so whenever the Holy Ghost releases us to do that, we'll do that. It'll be a great blessing to people. That prosperity series is going to cause people to walk into financial freedom once and for all. Amen. I know we talked the last 2 weeks about biblical facts about money, and some of that stuff maybe will be repeated in that series, but there's so much that we need to know. But this is rolling around my spirit, so there's some reason we need to share this today. But in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will," or you say it this way, "if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We talked about this situation before, but what we see in these verses is this guy didn't have a problem with can God. He didn't have the issue. He said, "You can make me clean if you're willing." Where was his hang-up? His hang-up was, "I know you can, but I'm not sure you wanna. I know you can, but I'm not sure you're gonna. I know you can do it, but will you?" And Jesus answered that and cleared that up. And notice that Jesus had to clear that up first. He had to fix that, because what you're going to see is that faith cannot rest on the mere ability of God. It's part of faith to believe in God's ability. You have to believe that God's powerful. You have to believe that God's bigger than your circumstance. You have to believe that God's bigger than that thing in your body, that thing in your family, that thing in your kids, that thing in your money, that situation. You have to believe that. But it's not enough to just believe that God can. And we have to be careful and be sober about our faith. You know, I've learned something about being correctable. I've learned something, you know, the Bible says, "Let a man examine himself." You know, a lot of times people don't like to go to the doctor because they don't want anything to be found out. But see, that's the problem, is a lot of things can be prevented if they're found out early. Yeah. Sometimes people wait too long, and then it's, well, now you're in a whole heap of mess, and sometimes it can be too late, you wait too long. And I don't want to be that way, you know. I don't want to be somebody that pushes against the correction of God. I want to be sober about my life, because it's the things I'm doing wrong that are hurting me. It's not the things I'm doing right. And we need to be sober about our faith, and we need to ask ourselves. And we need to be, when I mean sober, but I mean truthful with ourselves. Because according to your faith, it'll be done unto you. Mark 9:23 said, "If you can believe, then all things will be possible." If you can believe. Jesus said, "You'll have whatsoever you say and what you believe." Mark 11:24 says, "Whatsoever things you desire in your heart, when you pray, you believe you receive them." So it's up to your faith, praise God. And now I know that we all ought to have some faith projects, you know, things in our body that we're dealing with, things in our mind, in our finances, with our family, in our job, believing God for something. And I want to ask you, and to be sober about this morning, and to really look within yourself and ask yourself, does my faith rest in just the mere ability of God? Because I don't doubt that all of us are convinced that whatever it is we're going through, whatever it is we're facing, I don't doubt that all of us are convinced that God can. For me, there's nothing bigger than my God. There's nothing greater than my God. He's the greatest. He's the most powerful. He's the wisest. He made the human body. He sees all. He's been to my future, been to my past. He's at the present with me. It's not the can that we have a problem with. But I want to ask you, what is your expectation? Where does your expectation lie? You might be sold out on that he can, and that's good. That's part of faith. You have to be sold out that he can do it. But are you sold out just as much as the can, as just as much as he wants to, and that he's gonna, and that you expect this to happen? Well, let me give you a little analogy or example that came to my heart as I was laying in bed in the middle of the night, just going over these things. You know, I was having trouble sleeping and just spending some time with the Lord in the middle of the night. And this is the example I got. You know, when a woman's pregnant, they'll often say they're expecting. Right? What's that mean? They're in expectation of something, the arrival, right? And they'll say, well, when are you expecting? Well, 9 months from now. Or, I'm expecting in 2 months. Well, what does that mean? That it means that they're talking and living and preparing for an event to take place that has not yet happened. Correct? I mean, that's true. I remember the first time we found out that she was pregnant with Caleb. Of course, I was convinced he was a girl. And I was calling him Little Peach for a long time, you know. And I don't know if he wants me to call him that anymore, but that's what I was calling him. Then found out he was a little boy. I was shocked, you know. I was at the, whatever those things are, they do the sonogram and find out the sex of the baby. And it definitely wasn't a girl. So wait a second, that can't be right. For real, I was just taken back. You know, I wasn't disappointed, but I was taken back because I was convinced, you know. But from the time that I found out that Court was pregnant, from that time on, you know what I started doing? Daydreaming. About what it's going to be like with a baby. What it's going to be like as a dad. You know what we started doing in the natural? Started preparing. Right? You start looking at things different when you go to Walmart. You start looking at things different when you go to the store. And you start buying things that you don't. You start getting a room ready. You start making preparations. Why? Because you're in expectation. You are in complete expectation of something that is still 9 months off. But yet you're making... You're just in full expectation. You believe it. Well, are we that way about what we're believing for? We know God can. But are we, because here Jesus had to deal with the guy. The guy didn't have a problem. I know you can heal leprosy, but do you want to heal my leprosy? Jesus said, I will. I will. Amen. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you have something in your body, guess what his answer is? I will. Why? He doesn't change for you. He stays the same. But are you in full expectation? What do I mean? Are you thinking in line with what that's going to look like when that thing shows up? When that thing turns? Are you making preparations in the natural like you would for a baby? For that thing, for that baby to show up, for that thing to show up in your life? Are you talking like you believe it's coming? Are you expecting? Are you laying there? Or are your thoughts still, oh, it's so far away, it's never going to happen, I'll never... Come on. You know, I find out she's pregnant with him, and we didn't just not talk about it or do anything until all of a sudden, I got to go to the hospital. Oh, wait, what's going on? I had no idea. No. You prepare. Why? You're in expectation. Well, faith cannot rest on the mere ability of God. It's got to be some expectation. I want to help you with your expectation. Do you expect it to happen? Because we're going to see in the Word, well, I'll just say it this way. Lots of people, and we're going to help you with some things, are so discouraged for a variety of reasons. We'll get to some of those reasons. You're discouraged and you have no hope from day to day. You have nothing to look forward to. You are basically feeling like this is the way it is, this is the way it's always going to be. And living like that is hurting you. It's not a fun way to live, and it's not a faith way to live. It's not something that's going to turn the situation. Go to Psalms 27 and verse 13 today. I want to read a verse to you. I want to help you with your expectation. That was the word that was on my heart all week long, just stirring around. It was like, if I could look at it, you know, you see... In a naval warship, you know, you watch movies and things, and they'll have the radar, and maybe you'll see a submarine or another ship on the radar, or there's the airplanes on the radar coming on the radar. There they are, you know, and that's kind of the way it was all week long. That word expectation was on my heart. But Psalms 27:13, look what David said, and then I'm gonna have Kim Lai pull up and amplify in a second. He said, "I had fainted." Well, we talked about not too long ago, you can't faint. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, you'll reap in due season if you faint not. It's not up to God. It's up to you. You can't faint. And David said, I would have fainted had I not, or unless I had believed. What's belief? Expectation. Why do you go out and buy new clothes? Why do you get a nursery ready? Why do you talk about it? Why do you lay there and think about what it's going to be like to have a little baby? Because you are in expectation. You are in belief something's changing in your life. Amen. And David said, now remember Galatians 6. Actually, pull that up real quick, Kamai. Galatians chapter 6 in verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Then we'll go back to Psalms 27. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Well, faith is well-doing. The Bible says it's a good fight of faith. Faith is a good thing. Faith pleases God. For in due season we'll reap. Well, what does that mean to reap? Something good that wasn't there. That you're believing for. If we faint not or don't give up. Well, now remember that. So, I want to help you with not to faint. Go back to Psalms 27:13. He tells us. David said, I would have fainted. Unless I had believed or expected to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, would you pull that up in the Amplified, Kim Lai? Psalms 27:13. He said, what? What would have become of me? What he's saying is, you could say it like this, he said, I don't even want to think about what would have been the end result had I not believed or expected, had some expectation that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What's he saying? Expectation kept me going. He said, I would have fainted. And a lot of people are fainting in their faith journey. We know when you start out in faith, it's easy. Anybody can run a marathon to start. People aren't fainting at the starting line. The gun doesn't go off and people pass out. They pass out at mile 8, 9, 10, you know, mile 15. That's when they start slowing down, getting tired, cramping up. It's not at the starting line. I could preach about faith. You run out of here excited about your healing, excited about your finances. But then a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, and 6 months go by, and it looks like nothing's happening. It takes a baby 9 months. Seems like, is this thing ever going to come? Things are happening. Things are happening. And yeah, I'll say that. There's some things you don't want to come before the time they're supposed to come. Oh, I'm excited about this baby, but I don't want it born at 2 months. I'm excited. So, Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. We think at times that from the moment we get the starting line of faith, and when it's not showing up, oh, we must be doing something wrong. Oh, God's not on the scene. No, maybe that's working for your benefit. Because when the baby doesn't show up at 3 months, that's working for your benefit. When the baby doesn't show up immediately, it's working for your benefit. You want that to see it out. And there's certain things like that with faith. And you can't faint during that time. And David said, what would become of me? And the King James says, I would have fainted. And so many people, you know, they're believing God for something. They believe He can, but they have no expectation. If you did, you'd start doing like with a baby. You'd make preparations. You'd be talking different. You'd be thinking different. You'd be excited. Oh, I'm a day closer. I remember before Caleb was born, it was like, day closer. And we'd read in a book, you know, and find out how big he was, you know, and find out. That's why I called a peach, because I remember one time when I still thought he was a little girl. And I'm not saying you can't call a boy a peach. My goodness, don't throw peaches at me for nothing. But I'm just saying, you know, I didn't want to call him. I thought it was a little girl. I was calling her a little peach, you know, and because that's about how big the book said he was. And I remember reading about that and just, every day, one day closer. What's the book say today? How big is that baby in there today? How size is this? Cantaloupe, whatever it is, you know, getting bigger and bigger, you know, and you get excited and you're making preparations. You're thinking and acting in line of something you believe is going to happen. That's called faith. And David said, what will happen if I lose my expectation? The NIV says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord and the land of living. Go to Psalm 23. I know Psalm 23 is, you know, something we can quote. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want all that good things, you know. But the Psalms 23 has power in it. It's the Bible. It's not just something you find on a blanket at a craft show. You see those blankets with verses on them? I mean, those are good, but that's not just meant for a little doily or something to put in a card. No, this is the word of the living God, and the word is powerful. Now listen to what David wrote this psalm. Listen to this psalm as I read it. You know what you're going to... I'll just let the cat out of the bag. This psalm oozes expectation of what God's going to do. This psalm oozes and leaks out everywhere that this person writing this is confident in God's going to do something in their life. And you got to get that back in you. Yeah, you know he can, but you got to know just as much that he wants to and that he's going to. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. Amen. What's he saying? Because God's my shepherd, going forward, I'm not going to lack. What's that expectation of how things are going to be? Amen. But what is our take a lot of times? Oh, God, it never gets better. Things are so hard for me financially. Why does it never change? That does not leak expectation and ooze expectation. That oozes doubt and unbelief. And David said, I'm telling you what, I know he's my shepherd, and because he's my shepherd, going forward he's going to be my shepherd, so today I'm not going to want, tomorrow I'm not going to want, the next day I'm not going to want. Why? He's my shepherd. Amen. Amen. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That's somebody with some expectation. Amen. He restores my soul. He leadeth. What does leadeth mean? That means ever continuing. It doesn't say he led me once, or I shall not, one time I didn't want. No, I shall, going forward, I won't want. He maketh me to lie down. What's that mean? He continues to make me lie down in the green pastures. Not just a one-time thing, or it happened, 10 years ago, that was nice. No, going forward, that's my life. He restores my soul, leads me in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What? They're tested trials. He says, I will fear no evil. Why? God, you're with me. Amen. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now look at verse 6. You talk about expectation. Surely, goodness and mercy. Now it's not telling you that surely is going to tag along with goodness and mercy. It's just talking about goodness and mercy. Surely. Surely, goodness and mercy shall. Not goodness and mercy at one time. There was that time in 1980 where things were good and, oh, the glory days. That's not what David was saying. He was saying, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days. My tomorrows, my next weeks, my next year. All the days of my life. What does that ooze? Expectation. Expectation. Amen. Amen. You know why? We don't have time to turn there, but for time's sake, other things I want to get to. David was someone that expected God to do great things. If you go back and you read in Psalm, it would be in 1 Samuel 17 is when where David and Goliath was. Here he's a shepherd boy. He's not a man of war. And we know that David slaying the giant delivered Israel. And now he did deliver Israel. It put David in a new category in life. He got to marry the king's daughter. And got riches and honor and glory. And his forever changed. His lineage changed forever from that one defeat. Or that one victory, I should say, over Goliath. Well, naturally it was impossible. Just like some of the things we're facing. Naturally they're impossible. They've been that way. They seem to stay that way. They look like they're never going to change. Doctors say this. The bank account says this. Our kids are doing this. Whatever, right? And David, if you go back and read that, he said, when they were saying to him, David, you can't do this. Saul saying, you lost your mind. You can't do this. His brothers are mocking him. People are saying, no, you can't do this. You can't do this. What did David say? He said, well, he said, the Lord that there came a lion, and I took the lion out. There came a bear, and I took the bear out. Well, what's the bear and the lion have to do with the giant? Well, he tells us what it has. He ties it all together. He said, and the same God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear is going to deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. What was he saying? It was pre-battle, but his words and his actions and his attitude oozed expectation. He wasn't somebody that was turned off by God and discouraged and, oh, this is a challenge, it's so hard. No, he was so full of expectation, I am going to take that giant down. Well, we see it. We read Psalm 23. We see, well, that And when you have expectation like that, it charges you forward in faith. Lack of expectation will hurt you. Why? David said he would have fainted. You'll faint without it. Well, what we're trying to do today is get your expectation back. Go to James 4 and verse 2. James chapter 4 in verse 2. Excuse me. You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war. Now notice this. Yet you have not. Not because I don't want to give it to you. Not because I don't have something to give you. Not because you don't need something. You have not because you ask not. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Well, God knows what I have desires of, so what? The Bible says He knows you have what you have need of before you even ask Him. But yet there has to be that. But religion will tell you, well, it just will happen. If it'll happen, if it doesn't, it doesn't. No, you have not because you ask not. Well, you know why people aren't asking? You know why people aren't desiring? They don't have an expectation to work. They don't have an expectation that God's going to do it. So they don't ask. You know, I find with Abby, she's one persistent little character. She is. She's persistent. And Abby will ask for things over and over and over and over and over again. And there's certain things I'm just never going to say yes to. Dad, let me drive that lawnmower by myself. Dad, let me drive the lawnmower by myself. Abby, you're six and you're not heavy enough. When you get up, the thing shuts off. Oh, I can do this. I got this. Let me just, Dad, I don't need you. Just let me drive the lawnmower by myself. You know, she sees Caleb doing it now. Of course, I just don't feel like I should have him with the blade down. Yeah, he's not mowing the lawn, but he drives it around just for fun, you know. And, oh, I can do this. Caleb does it. I can do anything he does, you know. And she's asked me over, over and over again. But I've told her no over and over and over again. So now I'll watch her and we'll go out to the barn and I'll let her ride on my lap. And she sits on my lap and she drives the steering wheel and I'll do the gas or whatever. And she just doesn't ask me anymore. Because she has no expectation that I'll say yes. And the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Why? Your expectation is, what's the point? What's the point of asking? It's not going to happen anyways. And that's what keeps people in the have-not category. A lack of expectation from Abby now. She's wasting your breath. You keep asking me all you want. I'm going to say no. Now she says, I'm not wasting my breath anymore. Don't even ask me anymore. She stopped asking. Why? She has zero expectation that I'll say yes. And so many people have stopped going forward in faith and releasing their faith and believing God because they just don't expect life to be any different. And David said that's a sad way to live. And it is a sad way to live. It's a hopeless way to live. And I'm just here to tell you, let me get up here to really prove my point so you can see me better. Living like that is not how God intended you to live.
That's right.
My children, if you were to ask them, I am the king of fun. Is it true? He knows. Oh, is Dad going to be there to do this? Because I bring fun to that. Not saying she does, that's not what I'm saying. But I bring fun and excitement. They know it. And they expect it. They expect it. They wake up all the time. What's Dad going to do today? What fun things are we going to do today? Is Dad around? If Dad's around, is Dad around? That's what God wants you to live in with Him. David said, what are you going to do today? It's like my dog every day, Willow, you know. She just meets me there, wants to go for a walk, just looking at me. Where are we going? 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 And that's how God wants you to be. David said, I would have fainted. I would have fainted if I didn't believe it. Every day, David said, goodness and mercy today. Oh, what are you going to do today, God? What are you going to do today, God? What does the Bible say in Lamentations 3:23? It says, His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. But some people live like, well, it's not going to work for me. Never changes for me. And it squashed your faith. We're trying to revive that back. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. What I'm trying to say to you is God wants to do great things for you. You're His kid. It brings me so much joy when my kids are happy, when my kids are blessed, when my kids are enjoying things, when my kids are excited about things. That brings me joy. God wants that for your life. And I'm going to help you with some things here as we get closer to the end of here. But Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Look what the Bible says about your God. It says, now unto him that is able, we know he's able, to do exceeding abundantly above, that means higher, all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So God says, the measuring line is, I'll go over what you ask and what you think of me. What's thinking? Expectation. He says, I'll go above it. I can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. But if you're not asking, and if you're thinking down here, well, that's not very far that he's got to go over to meet that expectation. According to your faith. According to your faith. See, I like to think big and believe big and make God pole vault over my thoughts. Not just step over it like a log in the woods. And so many people's asking is down here and their thinking is down here. Why? Their expectation has been squashed. You need to have such a big view of God like David had. What is he going to do now? What's coming next for me? And if your expectation is low, then you just don't know some things. Then you've taken wrong thoughts, and you've been misled in your mind. Go with me to Mark 5 and verse 25. It's time to raise your expectation. Mark 5 and verse 25. This is the woman with the issue of blood. I want to read through the story and then explain some things. And before I read this, I'll explain some things in detail after. For her to do what she did this day naturally was not easy. She had the physical realm working against her. She had the social realm working against her. She had the mental realm working against her. So remember that when we read this, and I'll explain some of those things. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years and suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. Now think about that. We just casually skim over that. 12 years of bleeding would make you feeble, anemic, weak. You go to many doctors, those are the ones you're looking at as your help. Spend all the money you have to get better. See, all the money in the world, people will trade it for their health. You can be a multimillionaire, and if you're in chronic pain, so what? A disease, it's like, I'd pay to get this off of me. What's she doing? Doling out money. Let's get this figured out. This is terrible. It's ruining my life. And she's nothing better, but rather grew worse. So think about physically. Think about emotionally, think about mentally where she's at. When she heard of Jesus, verse 27, she came in the press behind, touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, or immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you're asking who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith did this. Your faith did this. Remember, the Bible said there were multitudes touching Jesus, but he only recognized one touch. But they were all thronging. That's why the disciples said, why are you asking who's touching you? Everybody's touching. He said, no. One touch, something went out of me. She withdrew power. How did she withdraw power? Faith. Faith is the power withdrawal. It is. God is always the same. He's always ready. He's always willing. He's always able. But faith makes a withdrawal on that power. There's no doubt people are thronging him that are sick and diseased and need help, and nothing's going out of his body. Is it because he didn't want to heal? No, he's the same. He said, I will. But he said, with her, whoa, something went out of me. Virtue, power went out of me. And he says, daughter, your faith made you whole. Now, what oozes out of here, and you're not going to be surprised what we're talking about, expectation. For her in her situation, which I'll go over again, to get out of the house, to press through a crowd of people in the condition that she's in is only because I'm expecting something to change. Yeah. Well, let's talk about a couple things here of what would have kept her back, because this is what could have squashed her expectations. What did the Bible say over there in verse 25? 12 years. 12 years. Wake up one day, wake up the next the same. Wake up one day, wake up the next day. Nothing's changing. Not for just 1 year, not for 2 years. 12 years she's got this condition. What would that get you into? A rut of thinking it's never going to be different. Come on. People think, it's been like this for so long. I'm convinced. And you've believed that. And it's never going to change. Your expectation has been squashed right along with your faith. Why? Because faith isn't just ability. Faith is also expecting God's going to do it. And God wants to do it. And God will do it. But it's been like this forever. It's been like this forever. It's been like this forever. Thank God. When she knew Jesus was in town, she didn't sit on her couch and say, what's the point? It's been like this for 12 years. What's going to be different tomorrow? Get your expectation in God and things will start being different tomorrow. And suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had was nothing better but rather grew worse. That's all her past. The professionals can't help me. I've spent all my money. My body's worse. What's the point? What's the point? Things are just getting worse. And it's, but no, it didn't let her, didn't squash her expectation, did it? No. No. You can't let your past squash your expectation. Oh, I've been broke for so long. What's going to be any different? Oh, you just don't know some things. You don't know some things about your God. Well, it's just been this way, but my body, for you just don't know some things. Yeah. You know what got her out of the house that day? She expected something to happen. She expected something to happen. Well, her past kept her out, but you know what else kept her, would have been able to squash that expectation? Her current situation, which was what? Broke, weak, sick, but even worse than that, a social outcast. Ceremonially, in those days, she was what the Bible would call unclean. And in fact, if you read the law in those days, and she had to live by the law, she would have had to stop bleeding for 7 consecutive days for her to be able to lift the tag of unclean, because in those days, in that culture, being unclean, if you touch anybody else, that sends them into a ceremonial pain in the rear end washing of themselves because they touched somebody that was unclean. So nobody wants to be around her, and she knows I can't mess people up. Not only that, but there's crowds following Jesus, and she's weak. 12 years she's been bleeding. Spent all she had. We know she's not eating the best food. She doesn't have money for the best foods. Right? When I went to Rhema Bible Training Center and packed up my truck and went by faith, I did not go down to Reese's Deli and buy prime rib for dinner. I had a lot of ramen, or what we call Rhema noodles, and just bread and peanut butter and things that were cheap. And so I'm not eating fresh fruit. I'm not eating vegetables. She's not buying the best food. She didn't have any money. And she's weak. And she's got this idea that if I go out in public, first of all, somebody might see me. And to get to Jesus, I'm going to have to touch people. See, that current situation could have squashed any hopes of anything happening. But she didn't let it. And I'm going to tell you how to get there, because some of your current situations are squashing expectations because you can't see around the mountain. All you see in your face is a big big, rugged financial problem. A big, rugged thing with your children. A big, rugged thing in your home. A big, rugged thing in your finances, in your health, and whatever. That's all you see. And you have no expectation of it changing and turning because that's all you see. Thank God that's not all she saw. Amen. So then how do we help you? Well, I told you about something that when conception happened, and you find out, you know, on the stick, and the doctors confirm it. Yes, something was conceived in her, but something was conceived in me. Expectation was conceived in me. From the moment I found out she was pregnant, expectation. Now, even that expectation went before the conception of believing for her. But when you get that confirmation, wow, now you really start, okay, now we have a date. Now we know time for, this is what we're going to do. We're thinking about this, and this is what we do this from. This, we're going to do this. We have to buy this and tell this person, that person. Expectation was birthed in me, or conceived in me, I should say. Expectation. Well, expectation was conceived in her. Even when her past said no, and even when her current said no way, she still got out of that house and pressed through the crowd with full expectation. Because what'd she say? If I just touch his garment, if I just touch his garment, what is that? Oozing expectation. I just touch his garment. I just touch his garment. I just touch his garment. You know what expectation would say for you? It's going to be different. Going forward, it's going to be different. It's going to change. It's going to change. It's going to change. But some of us just aren't there. Well, let's get there. Well, what got her out? Verse 27. Verse 25 and 26 tell us all the sad stories of her past and her present. Verse 27 said, when she heard. When she heard. When she heard. When she heard. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. What was conceived in her? How was expectation conceived in her? Through the hearing. Amen. We need to have some spiritual conceptions this morning in this service. You need to hear some things that put something in you that breed faith and give birth to faith, which will lead to your manifestation. She heard of Jesus and something in her changed. It no longer mattered what the current said. It no longer mattered what the past said. She was so full of expectation that when she would go out, her past would say, this isn't going to work. It's just another thing you're trying. I don't care. I believe. Her current would say, you can't go out. Don't touch people. You can't do this. This is illegal. I don't care. It's changing today. How did it happen? When she heard. When she heard, the dominoes fell. Didn't happen before she heard. Well, why? Go to Romans 10 and verse 17. You know this. Romans 10, 17. So then, faith cometh. What did Jesus say about her? Your faith made you whole. What did Jesus tell blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verse 46? Your faith made you whole. What did Jesus tell the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15, whose daughter was grievously vexed to the devil? He said, your faith did this. What did Jesus say to Jairus on the way to heal his, to raise his daughter from the dead? He said, you got to have faith. Your faith will do this, Jairus. Over and over in the Bible, we see Jesus say, according to your faith, according to your faith, according to your faith, according to your faith. And the Bible says, faith cometh, that birthing of that, or that conception, that expectation comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Somewhere in her daily grind of living the same 12 years, she heard about Jesus. There's a healer in town. She heard the Word, the Jesus. Someone came and said, he's healing people. He's telling people that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And has anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. Remember when Jesus stood up and told his resume in Luke 4:18? And one of the things he said was the recovery of the sight to the blind. That didn't mean just blind people get help. He was saying the sick people get help. Amen. And she said, wow, I heard the word that sick people get help. I've heard the word that sick people get help. Amen. That's what you need to be telling people at your workplaces. At my church, the sick people get help. Amen. The broke people get help. The depressed people get help. Why? They need to hear something different. Because all they're hearing the whole time is, it's going to be this way forever. It's never going to change. There's no hope. The doctors say no. The account says no. They need to hear something different. Why? The hearing will conceive something in them that will set them forth on a new path. The same way it will for you. We got to get something else in their ears. The devil is talking so much. Circumstances are talking so much. Healing happens down on 213 Pine Street in South Dayton. Deliverance has happened down there. Oh, they hear that. Wait, what? I've been told I'm going to have this forever. And the sad thing is, I've heard it. I've watched it from churches around here. I'll never tell you the names of them. So that's not my mission to criticize that. But I have watched services online of pastors standing up saying, it's God's will for you to be sick. I've heard it. That's God's will for you to be poor. I've heard it. And people are hearing that, and the devil's saying, got them. That's not what the word says. And people need to hear there's different, there's hope. He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So I want to give you some word before we close here this morning. Just give me a couple minutes. Go to 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Trying to raise your expectation up. You know what the most dangerous thing, one of the most dangerous thing is? I would say the opposite of expectation would be discouragement or hopelessness. And David said, if I didn't expect, I'd be in a place of hopelessness or discouragement. The devil wants to get you in a place of such discouragement. And what happens when people get in discouragement? What are some of the things they start saying? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I'm all alone and it's just me and this problem. Nobody cares. Well, I'm here to tell you someone cares. The one that can change it cares. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting your care upon him, for he cares. He cares about your cares. He cares about your problems. Nobody cares. Stop saying that. The King of Kings cares. The God that loves you more than anything cares. Yes, so-and-so might not give a rip, and such might not give a rip, but he cares. So-and-so can't heal my body. So-and-so can't change my situation. But the one that cares can. You need to renew your mind to this. What does it do? It starts to get your expectations. Start to fill up your expectation tank. Oh, he cares. He cares. Yeah, it's been like this forever, but he cares. He cares. He cares for you, praise God. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. What are we doing? Just raising your expectation up. God wants to do some things in your life. Some of you are so discouraged. You've bought that line, hook, line, and sinker, that lie of the devil that's telling you it's never going to change, that God doesn't care, nobody's going to care, it's going to be like this forever. You've bought that lie and the devil's got you. Number one, he cares. Number two, look at what the Bible says about your God. For the eyes of the Lord... The eyes of the who? The deliverer, the healer, the provider. That's who the Lord is. Run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So we get a picture of God on the throne. And what's he doing? Just looking. To and fro. The whole earth. That's what the Bible says. What's God doing? That's what he's doing in heaven. What's he looking for? Well, the Bible tells us. Runs to and fro throughout the whole earth. To show himself. Who's himself? The healer. Who's himself? Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Who's himself? The El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. The protector, the healer, the deliverer, the provider, the blesser, the revealer. He says, I'm looking, actively looking, to show myself strong on the behalf of whose heart is perfect towards him. Now, the way you interpret the Bible is you don't take one verse out of context, you look at the context. Well, this context here is talking, if you read the story, about a king who at one time put his faith in God, his expectation in God. He was in a big mess. Naturally, there was no way out, and he trusted God, and he got delivered. Well, he found himself in another big mess. And this time, he didn't trust in God and didn't rely on God, and that led to problems. And then God says, or the prophet said to him, from now on you're going to have problems because you didn't trust in God. And then he says this verse comes out of this, that God's looking to find somebody when it says heart's perfect, we think, well, that means we've got to have all our ducks in a row. No. In context, the heart, the perfect heart towards him is the faith heart. The one that's the expecting heart. Because the king at one time expected God to do something, and he did. And then this next time he said, I'm not even going to rely on God. I went to people to try to help me, and it didn't work out. And he says, now you're going to have problems. The eyes of the Lord are looking to help you. Number one, he cares. Number two, he is just waiting. He's sitting there perched like a cat on a fence post, ready to pounce on that little field mouse. You ever seen him? Just sitting there, just waiting. Oh, let me see that mouse. Right? That's what God's doing in your situation. But he's being held back by your doubt. Because hunger moves him to the situation. Faith moves him out of the situation. Isn't it interesting that God helped the guy the one time and didn't help him the other time? Did God take a break? Did God change? No. The person changed. The one time he believed God. Well, what's God do? He sits behind the curtain or the turnstile or the gate of your unbelief. When that unbelief's lifted, God moves. And when the guy expected, he moved. And when he didn't, God stayed right there. Did God want that thing to happen? No. He wanted to pounce. Why? Because the Bible tells us he's looking. I'm just waiting. If I could just find someone that trusts me, if I can find someone that trusts me, if I can find someone that trusts me. Well, it happened to that woman with the issue of blood that day. Lots of people are touching Jesus in doubt and unbelief, but one came in faith. And God pounced with his power. So don't act like, don't tell me he's not on the scene. And don't tell me that he's not interested. And don't tell me that he's sleeping on the job. No, he's waiting for you to give him something. It's called faith, expectation. He cares. Romans 8:32. Oh, I'm going to blast some thoughts out of the water here. Almost done here. Romans 8:32. It says, he that spared not his own son. Who's that talking about? God. But delivered him up for us all. Saying, God didn't even spare his son for us. I wouldn't give my child for anybody. God did for us. Praise God. He said, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Now, you know, you've heard me talk about this verse a lot. This verse is the wake the heck up Christian verse. You that's struggling with your healing, you that's struggling with your finances, you that's struggling with your problem, and you think God's not interested. No, no, no. He already gave you the greatest thing ever to prove to you that if I gave you the greatest, I'll give you all things. I already gave you the best. These other things pale in comparison to what I've already done for you. And for those of you that say and mutter the thoughts that come through your head and you say these out of your mouth, well, God doesn't care about me. You are full of it. What more does your Father have to do to demonstrate to you that he's all in on your life? What more does he have to prove to you that yes, you are the apple of my eye and I want to go to the whatever length it is for you, I want to go for you. Because he already went to the greatest lengths for you. You can never say God doesn't care, God's not interested. It's a lie from the devil. That's what? Killing your expectation and crushing your faith. You need to meditate on that verse till you get so full of faith you'll run through the mountain yourself head first. Amen. Oh, he gave me Jesus. Oh, this healing's no problem. He's interested in my healing. He's interested in my finances. He's interested in my relationship. He's interested in my kids. He's interested in my job. He's interested in every area of my life. Why? He gave me Jesus. Amen. Amen. And then last but not least, raise your expectation. He cares. He's actively looking. He proved that he cared. Jeremiah 32:27. This kind of touches back on the ability part. But now that you know that he cares, now that you know that he's looking, and now that you know that he proved that he cares, it's just good to top it off with a good old reminder that whatever it is you're facing is no big deal to him. Amen. Behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me. Who's the me? Oh, the one that cares for you. The one that's looking to be big in your life. The one that's already proved to you, I'll go to the greatest lengths. That healing you need, yeah, the doctors say it's impossible, but we can get there with me because nothing's too hard for me. And I care and I want to. I care and I want to. You need to start meditating on that and say, he cares and he wants to. He proved it and it's not too hard. That's what you just need to keep saying. He cares. He proved that he cares. He wants to help me. And it's not too hard for him. What will happen? Expectation tank starts rising and rising. For her to get out of that house that day, she would have had to know he cares, that he's looking to bless, and he was. Right? And then he can handle it, and he can. I am the Lord God, nothing too hard for me. You need to meditate on this over and over again. Until you are at the position of your situation where you just as convinced that God has the ability to do it as God has the willingness and want to do it. Till you become like that person. You'd always laugh at, would you say it was 24 outfits? When we found out we were pregnant with Caleb, we went and told my mother. And then, this is no joke, the next day she showed up at our house with 24 neutral color outfits for him. It was him. Because we didn't know it was a boy or a girl. I was convinced it was a girl, but she showed up with 24. What's that called? She's expecting something. She's expecting. She's not just knowing a body can give birth. She's expecting it's going to happen. You got to get there with your faith or it's not faith. And you won't get to the end. You won't get to the end. Amen? Amen. Well, were you blessed?
Amen.
Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We're so grateful. Father, this will change our life. This will change our life, Lord. I thank you for the encouragement, the correction, the direction you've given me, the revelation you've given me through this, and the meditation on this. Father, I want to have so much expectation in what you're going to do that it doesn't matter what the current says. That woman with the issue of blood didn't care how much pressure there was currently, how impossible it was currently. She didn't care about how hard it had been in the past and how many years had tried to tell her it's never going to change. She didn't care. She had so much expectation. Father, I pray that people would get off of that place of discouragement and hopelessness and meditate on this today and get over into the land of expectation and just believe you for things. Just expect you to change that. Just expect you to move in that situation. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your caring. We're so grateful, Father. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. Please, no looking around. As I look around this room this morning, I know that God is so thrilled with you as a person. He looks at you as an individual, not just as one amongst billions on the earth. He gave Jesus for you. The Bible says he has a specific plan for you. He cares about you. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, the best thing that he's ever done for us and the greatest display or act of love that he's ever done for us was giving us Jesus. Jesus is the ticket to heaven. When there was no way to heaven, God made a way through his Son. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No man will come to the Father unless they go through me. He's the bridge. Jesus is the bridge to get to the Father. And it's a free gift. It doesn't come through church attendance. It doesn't come through, you know, you've lived a perfect life, been perfectly moral, done everything right, talked right, lived right. It doesn't come out of generosity to the poor, to charities. It just comes through belief in Jesus. There were two criminals that hung on the cross with Jesus the day he was crucified, and one mocked him and made fun of him, and the other looked at him and said, I believe in you. And Jesus didn't look back at him and say, son, I'm sorry you're not good enough for heaven, or son, I'm sorry you didn't do enough good works, or you didn't give enough money, or you didn't have good church attendance, and you weren't very moral. I mean, here you're being crucified because you're a thief. You're morally messed up. Jesus didn't say that. He said, okay, you'll be with me in paradise. That's what he said to him. So if you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed, and it's one thing that God gave us Jesus, but God gives gifts. It's our job to accept them. You must accept Jesus and believe in Jesus for heaven to become a reality to you. And again, it's not about church attendance. It's not about anything else but Jesus. You're not joining some club or becoming a member of something. You're just saying, I believe in Him. And if this is the way that God has set it up, I believe that. I want to go through that. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody's looking around. I won't ask you to come forward. I won't have you stand up, and I won't have you say anything on your own. But if you're not 100% sure that when your life's over, you'll go to heaven and be with Jesus, you've never made Him the Lord of your life, don't let this moment pass you by. Get off the fence of eternity and get onto the right side. It's simple and it's free. The only qualifications you need are that you must believe and receive. If you can say, Pastor Mike, I believe in Him. I don't understand everything. It doesn't make sense fully to my head. But in my heart of hearts, I believe Jesus was real and I believe He died and rose again. You're qualified. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, no looking around, please. Would you lift your hand high in the air? Don't let this another day go by. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. Anybody else want to receive the Lord this morning? I know God's working on hearts in here. How do I know? Because the Holy Ghost told me. I see that hand. You can put your hand down. Thank you for your faithfulness and boldness, by the way. See, we're not going to embarrass anybody. Not going to call anybody out. You know, sometimes people, they've lived a good life. They've even been church attenders. They even might say, I love God. You know, the Bible says that the Jewish people, they have a zeal for God. They love God, but they don't do it with knowledge. Why? Because they don't acknowledge that Jesus is Savior. So you can love God, and you can be a good person, but yet you can see yourself on the outside because it's a relationship with Jesus that gets you saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We've had two hands this morning. Is there anybody else before we close the service? Again, you see, I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out. Or anybody else that's not raised their hand that you know the Lord's working on your heart, that you want to receive Jesus this morning, would you lift your hand high in the air? Anybody before we close? Anybody else? Father, we had two hands here this morning, and I don't know who's listening online right now or in the future via the archive, but Lord, I thank You that this is the first step to a new life. And just being sure in our position in You, and that's a good thing. You're so willing to save people and love on people and become a dad unto them. And so, Lord, I'm excited for those that raised their hands, maybe those that didn't raise their hands or ones I couldn't see online that are going to pray this prayer. But if you raised your hand, there's only one thing left to do. I said you have to believe and receive. The Bible says you must confess with your mouth. Romans 10:9 tells us that Jesus is Lord. But I told you I wouldn't have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. So those that raised their hands, along with everybody else in the church, we're going to pray a prayer. And the context of this prayer is going to be declaring your belief in Jesus and asking Him into your heart. So if you raised your hand, or if you should have raised your hand, if you're listening online, you want to get involved, repeat this after me along with everybody else in the church. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that You died on the cross. And I believe that You rose from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Just give me a couple minutes. Praise God. People are getting saved on the regular around here, and it's just so wonderful because it's the starting point. And I just want to encourage anybody that's listening or that didn't raise their hand or that you raised their hand, the next step for you, you don't ever have to step foot in a church again to go to heaven. But to receive all that God has for you, Jesus said in Matthew 9:35-37, He said, without a pastor, He said, your life will be scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. And so I encourage you, get planted in a Bible-teaching church where you're hearing the Word regularly, do the Word that you hear, and start walking into all the good things that God has for you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, we're going to stand up here and praise God a second. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, we have our midweek service. Prayer starts at 5:40. Nettie, what do we got? Sloppy Joe's today? Sloppy Joe's chips and cookies. I mean, that's a place to be. So over in the old sanctuary, just go through the doors and to the left. But God's been good to us today. Let's stand up and let's praise Him. You know, just add to your faith right now in your praise. Father, You're going to do it. I expect You to do it. I thank You You're going to do it. Things are turning. Things are changing. Things are happening. You want to. You care. Hallelujah. You've already proved it. And it's not too big for You, Father. We thank You, Lord. We worship and praise You. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.
So we search for You, Lord. We seek You.